We'll head to Washington, D.C. Congressman Bill Flores joins us on this Thursday morning. Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
Howdy, Scott. Great to be with you. And sorry we had to move it to Thursday this week, but I had a briefing out at the NSA last night, or yesterday morning, excuse me.
Can you give us some sort of an overview of that briefing?
Yes, I can. After 9/11, Congress passed something called the Patriot Act, and there were several provisions in there that allowed surveillance on potential terrorists. Most of the Patriot Act has gone away, but there's still a section called FISA 702 that allows our security community, our intelligence community, to survey potential terrorists, and they use email, phones, social media, things like that. So the NSA gave us an in-depth briefing on how they're doing and how they're complying with the law, because they're pretty tight privacy protections on that, particularly when it comes to people inside the boundaries of the country. And they also gave us some demonstrations of how it's been successful in dealing with terrorists. So I'm glad I got to go. It's those folks work real hard. Nobody ever knows about them. They're kind of back in the shadows, but they do a great job keeping our country safe.
Okay. President last night had dinner, Chinese takeout and chocolate pie is what we hear, with some Democrat leaders. And while at the end, the announcements were somewhat different about whether a deal had been made with DACA, what are you hearing this morning?
Well, my information right now is not much better than what we're all reading in the media today. So from what was reported, he cut a deal on DACA, and he also cut a deal on tax reform. I doubt that he was able to come up with a deal on tax reform that would be acceptable to both Democrats and Republicans. I do think it's possible that he cut a deal on DACA and border security. I'm hopeful that that's the case, because we definitely need to deal with both border security and some immigration issues, including DACA. And I, in my mind, I believe that's best done on a bipartisan basis. So I'm hopeful that he was able to get a core set of understandings together so that we can start moving forward in the Congress on this.
On a local level, earlier this week, representatives from the Brazos Interfaith Immigration Network and some other spiritual leaders got together, held a news conference, and said that they were in the process of reaching out to you on this. Have you heard from them, or what do you hear from this organization, if you have?
Well, we've heard from over 300 constituents since the president announced his DACA order back on September the 5th. And I don't know who they're identified with, because most of them don't identify themselves as being with any particular organization. They just identify themselves as constituents. And those calls have been running up just over 90% in favor of Congress dealing with DACA and coming up with a legislative solution. And about 7 or 8% have been sort of hardcore against doing anything.
Well, remind us what your point of view is as one member of the body. What are the key points in DACA that you can be comfortable voting for?
Well, I mean, when you go back and look at the core issue, and that is you've got a population of people that are here illegally, but they didn't commit the illegal act. They were brought here by their parents. And so you have to question whether or not it is appropriate to take somebody, say, that came here when they're brought here when they're 2 years old from Guatemala and send them back to Guatemala today now that they're 21. I mean, they're essentially an American. We've educated them. All they know is American society in our country. So I think it's unfair to send them back. But I also don't think it's appropriate to say, okay, here's your citizenship tomorrow. So what I think is right is similar to a bill I co-sponsored, and that is you can apply for temporary residency, and as long as you're on a path to going to school, having a job, serving in the military, and two or three other different options, you can move toward permanent residency status, and then ultimately you can get in line and go through the naturalization process just like anybody else would go through naturalization and become a citizen. And so that, to me, is a solution. They should be treated differently than their parents who committed the illegal act did. And so that's where I am. That's it, where at least 80% of the constituents in this district are. Again, we have a very conservative district, but they understand the difference between this population and the population of their parents that actually committed the illegal act.
Congressman Bill Flores joining us from Washington, D.C. We're discussing this morning. This is a president who just wants votes in the legislative branch. He doesn't care whether they're Republican or Democrat. That makes some Republicans uncomfortable that he's reaching out with talking to Senator Schumer or talking to Nancy Pelosi. So how do you feel about the idea that, that this president is reaching out to the Democratic side?
Well, it doesn't really bother me because at the end of the day, we in Congress control the direction of Congress and the fate that, that any legislative solution has, whether it turns out successfully or whether or not we decide we don't agree with the president's solution. So the Article II branch can do what he wants to. I mean, he has that, that discretion, and I mean that respectfully. I'm not trying to say it disrespectfully. But at the end of the day, under Article I, Congress makes all the laws, and so I'm comfortable in our ability to get that done. I think it's appropriate for him to reach out the other side. There are times where it's appropriate for us in Congress to reach out the other side. Dealing with DACA is one of those issues where I think we can find bipartisan solutions.
Steve Bannon was on an interview with Charlie Rose on 60 Minutes Sunday, and basically to paraphrase what he had said is, Congress is a body of people who basically answer to lobbyists and they don't answer to their electorate, and it's going to take more than a year, probably closer to 10, to, quote, drain the swamp. What were your thoughts on the comments that Bannon had on the subjects in the
interview? Well, I thought that was kind of an interesting comment. I guess what would probably be appropriate for Steve to run for Congress so that he could come in there and engage firsthand with that rather than throwing rocks from the bleachers. Look, the American people elect 535 of us to represent them in Congress. We come from a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different viewpoints, and it's always tough to get things done when you've got that many different viewpoints. And the process, unfortunately, works slower than many of us would like, and it's kind of like making sausage. You don't, you know, if you really knew what was in sausage, you may not eat it. But that said, that's the way our Constitution is designed. So I do think it was unfair he was throwing those kinds of rocks at us. Nonetheless, my hope is we're going to deal with the big issues we've got to deal with. We've got tax reform coming up. We also have to deal with come up with an infrastructure plan. We've got several other programs that need to be reauthorized or killed, like the Federal Aviation Administration. We've got to get them reauthorized. And then I'm hopeful, I haven't given up on health care reform yet. The Senate's kind of put us in a box on that, but I haven't given up on that. And I don't do that for any lobbyist. I do that for the 700,000+ people back home that I represent. And so I think for him to imply otherwise is inappropriate.
I think I know the answer to this, but I sure want to get your comments on Senator Sanders yesterday saying single payer is the only way to go, and he's ready to move forward with that.
Well, Medicare is by far the most insolvent, unsustainable program that's has been operated by the federal government. It's over $70 trillion underfunded today. Think about that. That's 3.5 times what our national debt is today. And so it would be a huge mistake to load that debt cost on our population, on our kids and grandkids, by adding a couple hundred million more people to this program, which is already on a path to fail right now, and benefits are going to be cut substantially within the next decade in Medicare. And it's just fundamentally unsound. It has been since the day it was designed. That's where you can find doctors who won't take Medicare patients. So their solution is basically to make sure that health care is rationed, that it's very expensive, and that you can't find doctors health care providers to treat you when you need it. So it's fantasy land over there in Bernie's mind sometimes. I don't know how he came up with this. It's really interesting to watch all the Democrats run to this, too, because I think this is going to be an anchor around their neck come November of next year.
Well, the Congress goes on. We have any legislation on the docket for this week that looks like it'll pass?
Yeah, something I'm particularly proud of this week is for the first time in over a decade, the House of Representatives is about to pass all 12 appropriations bills. We're going to wrap this up today. It's the first time that we have fully done a detailed, granular appropriations package for every single department of the federal government and done it before September 30th, the end of the fiscal year, so that the government has the funding it needs effective October the 1st. Now, of course, the story is different in the Senate, but at least in the House, this is the first time since I've been there that this has been done. So I'm really proud of Republican colleagues who all, you know, got together, locked arms, and said this is the path we ought to go, even though there are particular provisions that each of us may not like. Overall, it's the right thing to do for the government. It properly funds the military, gives military a pay raise. It reduces the funding for non-strategic, non-constitutional programs. I'm really proud of it, and we're going to wrap that up this morning.
Congressman Bill Flores joins us most every week. You can hear the entire interview archived on the website at WTAW.com. Appreciate you spending some time with us this Thursday morning.
You bet. It's always great to talk to you, Scott. I'd ask your listeners to continue praying for the victims of Harvey and Irma, and also for the first responders that are dealing with those affected areas.
Certainly. All right. Thanks for the time.